This is Writer's Cast. I'm your host, David Wilk. Today, I have the great pleasure to present a new Author's Voices episode, a reading by Rachel Blau Du Plessis from her upcoming collection, The Complete Drafts. This book will be published in April 2025 by Coffee House Press. Drafts is a long poem inaugurated in 1986 and ended in 2012, comprising 115 works. I am honored to have this opportunity to host Rachel reading from this astonishing, powerful work.
Thank you for having me, David. I'm going to try to read maybe from four poems, different ones. One is forward slash draft 64, a rather fierce poem. I can characterize them fierce, nicer, so on. Draft 64, forward slash. The poem is the fosse in which to cower, hunching down by warehouses of power, a sludge-filled ditch where futurists once lay, now backwashed debris, now box store splay. Turbines process hot things and then distribute them, but nothing is what you want. Things no one sees on always on TVs, not fake, but not as it happens, unprofitable. Lemmings running on the take. So my throat opened like a snake's throat when it faces down its natural food, hiding in twigs, and my eyes opened wider, swept by headlights, fast drivers in fat cars. But I could not strike nor take in all that I saw. I had poisoned nothing, hurt nothing by myself, if ever there were such a thing that had a choice apart from strings of stringent, stinging links that I could barely bring myself to know, like the standing uneven, aslant in the street, like the corner mutterer covered with a quilt, bloated with poisonous fill, although my electric other selves did damage where they found they could, all in my sealy name. Slash, slash, it was too much to be therefore so close to overcome. I could not do one step at a time, or at least I had to step on many paths at once with too few feet to go around. Content transfer and coding, quoted printable blank, Rachel, I just wanted to let you know, right here, by writing this, that I too am a stranger in these tangled corridors of strangeness, threaded through the buried graffiti and strata, fresh and blue over burnt umber, a glyph of the 20th century. So far, this one too. I limp the maze where other shivering walkers went. The hurt, the halt, the broken. I imp there, am a particular shadow or third beside them in the classical cadence, foregrounded by the habit of hearkening back to what we know, some idea that's so consoling. But I am leaning, I am propped, I am fractured. This is not walking, but a shuffled drag. I'm trying to walk in the world as it is, but all the weights and balances are off sides and listed. The whole range of scales tilts. Visionary ankle-twisted trail when I am in this real world pulling a concrete plug or slug, myself, whatever it was, snapped when I put one heavy-hearted foot down on the concrete one rancid day of mist. I surely need to learn to walk again mindfully where it is necessary to go. There was ripped cloth and a hollow ring of bone dissolved into a raining snow of my own body falling slowly, swirl and clumps. And I didn't want to know. There was nothing I got that I had wanted yet. A little fuzz or droplet indicates its place. There was no solution to continuing to raunt except continuing wind rain of a shallow day. Hot fix, but the firewall is, as stated, temporary. So far, there is no fix lasting longer. There's nothing more to say. And so I haunt the spot I once was riding under the road, under the mall, under the state, under everything, strata, engorged and fattening shelves, ghost. Yes, ghost. This one, not complex, just the shadow aisle of sunken hope and text. It was draft 64. You know how poets always begin their career by writing about their parents or their family? This one is not about that, but it's sort of about that. That it's almost, you might say, it's not a parody of it exactly, but there are lots of characters, you know, the self, the mama, the papa, the baby, and you know, they go round and round. This is a serial poem, and it's even worst case scenario, takes its title from Keats' Ode on a Grecian Urn, but it distorts it. Keats said, pipe to the spirit, ditties, of no tone. And I say, this poem is called Draft 67, Spirit Ditties. I won't even start at the beginning. To travel a father further, to start a mother motor right, pillow songs on worn down linen and unravel every possible night. This wallpaper is too busy. Hear telephone's behest. Don't you think one simple understandable pattern would be best? A few years back, I had a frozen should. That typo said what it could say. After all, you're getting older. How can you live this way? Person, a pinhole through which this death pound opened roars. Use a helper dog to fetch cold, wet nose and scratch hard paws. And look here at my hands. They're both stained blue with gashes, simply from sifting a few woad saturate ashes. To another section. Who, rising, stepped out over air, eyes, lived in rubato, delay, slowness, suspension, slow motion, picking crystal fibers out from the background of her handmade paper. The dead in time are birds, ticking, chirping, squabbling, hooting, not here, not here, not here, cottons named the vegetable lamb. Plus, there is no time. The watch is broken, but now the door to the river is open. You may draw water. You may draw it from this very page. Another section. At the party, daughters remembered last words of their various mottled mothers. When will you ever take my granddaughter to get her hair styled? And why don't you have some highlights put in your hair? You'd look so much better. They remembered these final words forever. Have and take and put, have and get and look are anagrams for female ever. Another section. Daughter with the baby mother, doll clothes on the baby's finger, grander mother feeding knots, someone not wearing any undies. Ooh, ooh, they all jumped about. They all had the very blank tushies of very bad dolls. I get someone to eat who didn't want to, and someone licked the spoon I held. Food was how they recognized me, like a storm brewing. The suffering dead and the baby born learn to yield to the tablespoon. Another section. Hey, you're fraternizing with your father, whose eye you scratched. He has mental operations for the first time, he insists, puzzling out solemn lunacy from his ceiling. Did give him a heroic medical lunge at story. Saving savior, he was imminent. Did not stop talking then or when, but kept on fantasizing all he did, holding forth eloquently in astonished mode of moribund id. And then a craft. Dirty sheep by me are shorn. They learn to lie upend. I piled up their stinking hair. Then I began. Product got washed, beaten, oiled, combed, carded, spun. Product twisted, dyed, spooled, warped, woven, sized. It was washed and fulled, stretched and teaseled. Then the weave was shorn again. That whole family was dyed in the wool, a deeper, darker dye whose pattern could not be annulled. And the newly naked sheep nosed around their field, herded by a hairy pastore in slattern sheepskin pelt. Someone had taught that shepherd how to sing, oh, la-dee-loo, plus to praise all pertinent muses up top and back of work. This total techne, the hungry muzzles, the dingleberry hinies, the loopy wool, the hand dealt, the game is played, the die and snarl and twists. What an unbelievable spectacle. 17 and the last one I'll read. You can't drive the car, you're dead. That's what someone said, but he certainly ignored that. Dead, he got in the driver's seat, and dead, he took the wheel, and dead as dead, he tooled along. Is this some joke? Nope, it's for real. This buddy trip inhibits me, but my syntax sets me free. We took a wrong urn somewhere. So his funeral, it's your funeral. Okay, that one was Spirit Ditties, and it's more like a nursery rhyme in format, as you could probably pick up.
That was a wonderful piece. I like that.
You like it? Yeah. There's even more of it, but it gets too complicated to read out loud. Anyway, I also write long poems. Obviously, they're longer, like odes. And an ode is a very particular kind of poem. It declaims, and it can declaim in several directions. This one goes in the direction of my students, because there I have a set of poems dedicated to people or persons. And it goes through, I think, the way you feel sometimes when you're a younger poet and you literally don't know what to do or what to do next or how to do it, which is exaggerating probably for some people, but, and it's called Bildungsgedicht with apple. Bildungsgedicht is it seems to be a real word in German called, instead of Bildungsroman, a novel of learning how to do things, et cetera, et cetera. It's a poem. It's a gedicht. Bildungsgedicht with apple. It's draft 56. The mind is clamped with questions. Poetry is apparitional. Rumpled kin wing wakes affright. Who claims instruction? Who wants the history of learning? Who needs to attend? Who waits, turns? Who tries to float stones? Gifts can be swallowed up by gifts. The words are stranger than you know. Currently, the beginning is plethora, tangled intentions, natter. No level of allusion could ever be wrought or brought to where it would have to be to register the full range splay. Various roads that I am trying to race down simultaneously. Gone whitewater rafting on a Thanksgiving platter. Mini currents of air and branch, uneven sheer and sheer, crisp slide and spray, split and split again, these streaming interior paths knocked and bumped upon solidity. Oh, sweet poem, be mine, be yearning nodules, rich or touching, or lucid, or economic, analytic, chrysophantic, with hairy stars refracting under the surface of water, staged in the arena of dailiness, staged in the crevice of dailiness, staged in the crime of dailiness. A word, a changeling word, and no advice, another stranger word than this, or that, may never get whate'er you want. For want is not the point. Your want, your lack, your love, your being chosen, being not. The you is, without doubt, one foolish situation, pleasantly specific, even hearty, a site where smallest daily moves are true and plain, and this absorbs, assumes, a lot of that, but is not you. The thing you try, contrastingly, is inside doubt. This poem is not you, except as if you are yourself in doubt. The poem is doubt itself made evident. Your trembling begins. You guzzle at the twinkling beaks of stars. Marginality? Nothing I say can give the feel of it. No words, no verbs, no sentences. Overcast and cloud pile day. Cold, customary night. Rough rider, blue rider, rough water. Art for what's sake? Porousness as a kind of pain. If I open, will I be nothing? That long a history of starting. coarse clay pot with crude clay strip around its waist. 6 years, 10 years, 20, Stark, what is it to work? Neither addressing the task nor understanding why not. Any passing cloud couldn't get more frustrated. The beads I collected were flaked off token bits of other better beads. What does it mean to speak like that? Like, why the delay? Start to practice, even hobble up to practice, that is, to choose, distinguished from mannerism by suspicious curiosity, by the rejection of mechanism. Where do the words go? Where do they come from? Their laden, socio-twisty selves? What can they be held to say as syntax turns its bitter, loving hands? What I made, I want to see. Bits and mites, codes and clots, darts of lacerated clarity, words spun off by cogs of enigma, little powerful motes, black holes of history. Can scrape and rustle, says the suspect ensemble, can tinkle and whistle below audibility, can offer evidentiary ghost resonances and tangled rhythm ribbons of fast figuration. So, turquoise treasures, tell me if you know, what is the practice of having practices? All Orphic? Is it true that it's all Orphic? On an edge, jumping within the general jumpiness? Who knows? Who knew? The words fell out like radiated hair, unstatable loss. What do you mean, the silvery voice of rhetoric? Emptiness, empty emptiness, not even filled with sweetness, abrasive, the passage in passage, but the little push down and onto the page. I don't want much more. I don't want to talk. Bits of seeds of grassy wheat, work, dirt, bits of shardy words dug in. Plus, there was, couldn't make this one up, an apple. A giant apple blocking the view. And therefore, the whole range of scales was off. Was it high or low? Could I reach it? Was it far? Unsteady, unnarratable, rotted out? I mean, truly, there was a tree top apple juice label pasted down on the blank page, and on each one were words I once had typed. Apprentice yourself to yourself, said Apple first, and dry up your minimalism, said Apple too. The appeals, or appels, of the apples. It was certainly advice, and after all that time, so without knowing whether things would hold, I entered the errand that seemed to come from in and out, from back and forth, all sides at once. No matter how, the fold became intent to speak its mobile waft of little X's marking spot of sidewalk, road, and field. To say, and this was all it was, it is, es gibt, sieh, Choe, the rolling floor, the bumpy way, the lunge, the obdurate and brilliant hinge, determined it was to speak in languages metamorphosing, because in single language the poem could not be complete, but since it craved a multilingualism that it barely earned, let it fantasize, for then it flew unwrapped and rose enraptured. Then it came to flow amongst its several tongues, but floating bolts of uncut cloth that did not care for top or back, but draped and flew and blew like clouds and grew and plunged like waves. And it's to my students.
That was just wonderful. I want to
thank you. Thank you. It's very real nice to be reading. I like to read. I like to read on Zoom even. And I'm sorry about this, the reading light, which makes me look precisely like a ghost that I keep on referring to.
Don't worry about that. Thank you so much, Rachel. This has been an episode of Authors' Voices, a reading by Rachel Blau du Plessis from The Complete Drafts, presented by Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. Thank you for listening. I'm David Wilk. ¶¶